coming up.
This is probably the broadest, most sweeping state plan that we have done.
Lawmakers pass a state budget.
The state is saying, to hell with law-abiding citizens. And to the criminals of the world, let us make it a little bit easier for you. Let us roll out the red carpet for you.
You can depict it the way you believe, but we believe that opportunity is in these pages. We believe that tax breaks are in these pages.
We'll go through the $175 billion spending plan next on New York Now, right here on PBS.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program, this is New York Now.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to New York Now. I'm Matt Ryan.
And I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union. The budget has been passed, and people all over New York are praising it as timely.
A lot to go over. We have some highlights right here in our headlines. It was another all-nighter at the state capitol, something that's become a late-March tradition in Albany. When the Senate wrapped up their work Monday morning, 7.5 hours after the midnight deadline, New York officially had a newly approved $175 billion plan, what amounts to a 2% growth in spending, a number consistent throughout Andrew Cuomo's tenure as governor. Here are some of the things you should know. The property tax cap that has been in place since 2012 is now permanent after the Assembly approved it. The total school aid budget is just shy of $28 billion, with over 70% of the increased funding going to the poorer districts. Congestion pricing is coming to Manhattan south of 60th Street. Implementation won't begin until 2021. It's expected to raise $15 billion, which will be dedicated to MTA capital needs. The pied-à-terre tax did not make the budget, but a real estate transfer tax on luxury homes did, what's labeled a progressive mansion tax on properties valued at $25 million or more. Starting in June, there will be another new tax, this time on internet purchases. It's expected to generate $160 million for local governments and $320 million for the MTA capital plan lockbox. As expected, single-use plastic bags have been banned. That will begin next March. Counties will have the option of charging a nickel for each paper bag used if a customer chooses to do so. Criminal justice reforms include eliminating cash bail for misdemeanors and nonviolent offenses. Governor Cuomo and legislative leaders could not come to an agreement on a system of public financing for elections. Instead, a commission will now be created to study the topic, with recommendations due by the end of the year. The 213 state legislators will be getting a pay raise for the first time in two decades. You'll remember another commission was created last year to look at the issue, and part of the deal for the pay increase was getting an on-time, or shall we say, a timely budget. And finally, one of the last resolutions approved by lawmakers gave the governor and lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, a raise as well. Andrew Cuomo met with reporters Sunday afternoon before the budget was officially agreed upon.
This is probably the broadest, most sweeping state plan that we have done. There are a number of national firsts, and it really grapples with the tough issues that have been facing this state for a long time. And we've done a lot of good work in this state, a lot of good work that has informed the nation. And I think this budget is probably the strongest progressive statement that we've made and actually addresses many of the difficult issues that we are facing today.
Let's hear what senators thought of the plan, starting with Republicans and then Democrats in the majority.
What this really is this is just another piece of legislation that allows some politician to to check a box next to a category, whether it be environment or anything else, that really doesn't do anything with regard to that category. The most effective thing about this, and really what I think to be the true goal, is that it's going to collect a lot of money from people. It's going to pick their pockets once again. It seems that all government wants to do this day is analyze what people do in their lives and figure out how many junctures there are in their lives, how many transactions they make, and to use that as an opportunity to take their money.
What a sad, sad day, Mr. President. Fitting, however, knowing that we are taking this, our great state, in a certain direction. Surprised? I'm not surprised at all that we're doing this. I want everyone at home in the 52nd to know that by this resolution, the state is saying, to hell with law-abiding citizens. And to the criminals of the world, let us make it a little bit easier for you. Let us roll out the red carpet for you. You know, people in state government, they're happy to run to the federal government, hat in hand, asking for money. But in the same breath, they're saying, to hell with your rules. We no longer think that we need to protect the public. With all due respect to the sponsor of this resolution, I think this sends the wrong message to New Yorkers. I think that we are, in fact, better than this.
As I look at this budget, I think of words that we talked about last year: affordability, opportunity, and security. So in the advent of, or the world that we live in with social media and technology, one of the major newspapers here in New York has a cover that's already out for tomorrow that says tax, tax, tax. Big, bold letters. So affordability, it's not us, not just us saying this. New York is getting less and less affordable to live. And this budget doesn't make things any better.
We beat back the special interests and are actually taxing wealthy New Yorkers based on the ability to pay. And what's even more important is that those same New Yorkers will be providing for middle-class residents of our city and the whole region in helping fund our mass transit system. And that's really one of the most important things we're doing tonight, which is funding the MTA through congestion pricing. $15 billion, that gets us some of the way. We know that Andy Byford's plan is $40 billion. But one of the things that I often get pulled off of the sidewalk in my district is the question, when are you going to fix the subways? Well, we're taking a bold step tonight in passing congestion pricing.
You could depict it the way you believe, but we believe that opportunity is in these pages. We believe that tax breaks are in these pages. We believe that our consciousness about the environment are in these pages. We believe that our understanding that you are indeed innocent until proven guilty, and that you deserve to have rights before you're tried, to know what it is you're being accused of, and you have the right to a speedy trial. We believe that you should not be criminalized if you're poor. And we believe if we invest in education, if we invest in our children, if we make sure they have what they need from pre-K to college, that we will make sure that we stop what has become too often the school to prison pipeline.
So much more to go over and analyze, and we're going to do just that at our Reporters Roundtable, where my partner from the Times Union, Casey Seiler, is our moderator.
All right. We're now at the Reporters Roundtable, happy to be joined by two sons of Western New York. I, of course, was born in Buffalo as well. John Campbell of the USA Today Network and Bill Mahoney of Politico. All right. We just saw the summary of the budget negotiation that was completed last weekend. How would you guys sum it up?
Well, it's difficult to sum it up quickly, but I was shocked, not shocked, You know, the thing that sticks with me is we had a Democratic Senate for the first time in 10 years.
Right.
And the budget negotiation process felt very similar to the budget negotiation process with the Republicans in power. You know, there was this tension between the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor, all of whom are Democratic. There was a particular tension between the governor and the Democratic Senate, in part because the Amazon deal blew up in the middle of it. So, yeah, I mean, it felt like there was a lot, the tensions were still there. Now, that being said, the governor did get a lot of what he wanted. He got the congestion price, and he got the permanent property tax cap. He got criminal justice reform. He got all the lines in the sand that he drew. And, you know, now you kind of see some lawmakers talking about how they didn't really like the budget, but they passed it anyway.
I would largely agree with that. It was surprisingly, despite the fact we now have three Democrats negotiating, very similar to a lot of budgets we've passed in the past. Compare it to 2017, the first year of the previous two-year session. That one had a big criminal justice reform component with raise the age, just like this year's did. They both had other liberal things, too. Like, that one had a big environmental program with money to a couple billion dollars for clean water. This one had the bag bill.
Right.
But overall, like, it wasn't much more liberal. Like, if you look at the money that the school aid, the foundation aid for schools increased by, it was $618 million, the exact same as last year. And this is 1 year after an election where we had the Cynthia effect, where everybody was talking about a longtime school aid advocate running for governor meant that people were going to address her concerns a lot more than they ever had in the past.
Right, so the big liberal, especially liberal asks that were possibly going to be dealt with in this budget, such as the legalization of adult use marijuana, and campaign reform, particularly public funding of campaigns, were all essentially kicked down the road in one way or another. And legalized marijuana might be kicked down the road quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one that the governor made it part of his 100-day agenda, and that was one of the big things that wasn't dealt with on that agenda. But you know, it is going to be the highlight issue of the second half of the legislative session. Lawmakers are in town until end of June, essentially. But it is, the opposition has really kind of gotten a foothold, the opposition to legalize marijuana. At the beginning of the year, it was looking like it was going to be a done deal. I mean, and everybody seemed to be in agreement. But then, you know, you had school groups come in and say that they're opposed, and you had law enforcement come in. And now you're starting to hear some lawmakers be kind of wary. And then once you get over that hump of do we want to legalize it or not, there's still all the details of the program and how it would work. So it's not a done deal anymore, but it will be the marquee issue of the second half of the session.
So let's unpack a couple of the specific items. Criminal justice reform, including kind of the diminishment of cash bail to a kind of a smaller set of charges. That's one of them. That was a significant win, as you note, for the governor and for criminal justice advocates.
Yeah, absolutely. And essentially, that is going to eliminate cash bail for misdemeanors and some felonies, and it's going to remain in place for violent felonies. And you know, criminal justice advocates were advocating for complete elimination of cash bail, but that was really one of the big sticking points of the budget. What do you do with people who are charged with murder? Do you consider their dangerousness and whether they can be released? But other people said, well, you know, you're only supposed to consider whether they're a flight risk, and they kind of came to this compromise at the last minute.
Bill, you mentioned the plastic bag ban. You're already seeing Republicans cast that as Democrats just not understanding the needs of everyday New Yorkers.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ones that they will continue to harp on, especially because that one takes effect next year, conveniently about 6 months before the elections.
Yeah.
And I do have the sense that this is kind of the type of thing where after it's been in place for a couple years, everybody will forget that they used to get plastic bags every time they went to the supermarket and will be used to bringing their own reusables or paying a few cents for paper bags. But it will be a shock for some part of the population. And I'm sure Republicans will make use of that next year. They're continuing to harp on a lot of other things. The budget did not contain a lot of these tax raises that some Democrats had sought before last year's election. The millionaires' tax stayed the same as it had been, and this extra pool of billions of dollars that was supposedly going to go to fund all these social programs never materialized. But there are things like the internet sales tax, where in theory everybody was paying their internet sales tax voluntarily at the end of the year when paying their taxes, but The collections were low.
Yeah.
And some people probably will be paying a lot more money. And I think they were estimating, what was it, $500 million?
$540 million
a year will add up to, which isn't a massive amount if you divide that among 20 million New Yorkers. But it's some more fodder for Republicans next year, and we'll see if it sticks.
You mentioned as well the kind of diminishment of what was initially pitched as the pied-à-terre tax. Now, I think, what are they calling it? A luxury dwelling surcharge?
Mansion
or
tax. Yeah. I mean, there's any number of things. But essentially, it is going to be a fee on the transfer of high-value real estate. Right. And that was a way to help raise money for the MTA, the New York City Public Transit System, which was a major part of these budget negotiations, not only with that, but also with congestion pricing,
right.
Which is, you know, New York is going to be the first state in the nation to offer, to mandate a congestion pricing system where drivers who go into basically the southern half of Manhattan are going to have to pay a toll, and it's going to vary based on peak and non-peak hours, and you have a lot of suburban commuters who are very mad about that, and that is going to be rolled out over the next 2 years, essentially. And conveniently, the price of the tolls will be determined by a board after Election Day 2020. So that is, state lawmakers running for re-election in 2020 won't have to deal with it then.
That's not the first time we've seen stuff like that before.
No.
If you recall back to 2016, legislators handed off the unpopular decision of a pay raise commission, or of a pay raise to a commission that came out with its recommendations on November 15th after the election.
Yeah.
That fell. They did another pay raise commission. That one handed out its recommendations on December 6th of the election year. And even go back to the 4-year hydrofracking study, which finally came to its conclusion of summarizing the existing data in December, right after Cuomo won a second term, and he didn't need to make his divisive decision until after he had been elected.
What timing.
It's amazing.
What timing.
It's amazing how these things sometimes work out. Well, perfect segue, while we're talking about things being kicked to commissions, and that is, of course, public financing, which will now be dealt with by a commission that will have certain parameters that it can look within and set rules. But as with the pay raise commission, those decisions by this commission will become law unless legislators, within a very small window of weeks, come back and change them.
Yeah, so, you know, Democrats for years have been saying they want public campaign financing where you make a small donation to a politician and it's matched with 6-to-1 or some sort of ratio like that with public money. And the idea is to empower these small donors and make politicians rely on them more than the large, big money, big deep-pocketed donors. But when push came to shove, the Democrats in the Senate, the Democrats in the Assembly, and the Democrat in the governor's office could not agree on a system in time for the budget. So they agreed to a commission that kicks the decision to this commission. It, like you said, they have to report by December 1st. That takes effect unless within 20 days the legislature comes back and overrules that. The chances of that are very small because they're not supposed to be back in until January, and nobody wants to come back to Albany in December. But, you know, it shows how they punted, essentially. And also, you know, the commission model is being challenged in court.
You know,
this is very similar to the pay raise commission, and it is being the authority to essentially delegate lawmaking to a commission is being challenged in court.
And that pay raise commission lawsuit, or the two now, I guess, at this point, that could have some big ramifications for what this Public Financing Commission can decide. The Pay Raise Commission went and also said that besides giving legislators a pay raise, they were also effectively banning outside income, which a lot of lawmakers viewed as a reach and something that they weren't explicitly given the power to do. But this Public Financing Commission kind of it doesn't have a lot of set parameters. It says at one point in the opening of the statute that created it that they have the power to make changes to election law that impact public financing, which could be pretty much anything. There's some language that suggests they could end fusion voting, which would basically destroy the Working Families Party, Conservative Party, some of the minor parties in the state that coincidentally Governor Cuomo feuded with before he added this language to the budget on Friday night before they passed it on Sunday. But some lawyers are saying, the Senate Democrats said on the floor, like, well, we don't think this has the power to end fusion voting. But if some of the lawsuits against the pay raise commission say it's okay for them to go and ban outside income, then that might set a precedent for this pay, or for this public financing commission to go pretty far in terms of what it can do to affect election law.
Yeah. Bill, you, always a sharp questioner, put the question to the governor as to, you know, he is not known for his ability to rake in small donations, and you asked him how he thought he would fare under this this new system.
Well, that's a big reason why there was some resistance once push came to shove and there was actually a chance to get public financing created in New York. It would help candidates who raise money from lots of small donors rather than those who just get a few 4 or 5 or 6 figure checks. So a lot of incumbents do rely on these big checks, particularly Andrew Cuomo. And if we do get this system going forward, it really could change the dynamics in future gubernatorial races. If you go back and look at 2018, for example, Governor Cuomo raised about $37 million, while Cynthia Nixon raised less than $3 million. But if you put in place some of the lower limits that have been proposed, and also add in the matching funds that would come from a public financing system, it's about $18 million to $8 million, which means that Cuomo still has a lead, but all of a sudden you're looking at very different dynamics than he's ever seen before. And that same thing would probably apply to dozens of legislative races down the board.
Another thing that Governor Cuomo has to look forward to is more in terms of salary. Yep. Because quietly passed in the middle of the night in the Senate and in the very, very early morning in the Assembly was a resolution that will make Andrew Cuomo by 2021 the highest paid governor in the nation.
Yeah, and so the pay raise commission that we've talked about many times in December recommended a raise for Governor Cuomo and Lieutenant Governor Hochul that would take Governor Cuomo to $250,000 annually by 2021. Prior to that, for the last 20 years, the governor had been made $179,000. But the state constitution says that that the governor's salary is set by a joint resolution of the Senate and the Assembly.
Which makes sense.
Right. We hadn't seen that resolution passed since the pay commission report came out. Then all of a sudden, it literally in the middle of the night, it was 2:45 a.m. when the Senate voted on it. It was after 6 a.m. when the Assembly voted after they had gone all night. They did vote to approve that measure. So it will make Cuomo the highest paid governor, barring some sort of huge raise in another state by 2021. It was a tough vote for lawmakers. Generally, Democrats voted in favor of it and Republicans were against it. You did see two lawmakers in the Senate, James Skoufis and Jen Metzger. They both were nowhere to be found for the vote and they were marked absent. And then if you look at the Senate video feed, they were actually back in their seat moments after the vote. You know, Senator Skoufis says he was in the bathroom. Senator Metzger won't comment on where she was. So it just shows what a tough vote that was.
It is important to hydrate during these long debates.
Yes, of course.
I was in the chamber at the time, and both of them you could see coming back into the chamber like almost a minute after they finished casting it. They came back, which could have been a coincidence, but it was a difficult, unpopular vote, and a lot of lawmakers were unhappy with the way it went down as well. They needed something called a message of necessity from the governor to pass each of the budget bills. Since they hadn't been around for 3 days, it lets them circumvent that aging process. And legislators, at least, I won't pretend to know what happened inside the closed door meetings, but legislators were certainly under the impression that they were waiting on the final message of necessity to pass the final budget bill until they passed the pay raise for Cuomo. And that seems to have been held hostage. Letting them pass the budget on time was only possible once they gave Cuomo a raise.
Right. Oh, I love budget season. All right, that is where we're going to have to leave it. Thanks very much to John Campbell of the USA Today Network and Bill Mahoney of Politico. Ladies and gentlemen, they were both born in Kenmore Mercy Hospital in beautiful Erie County. An amazing coincidence brought to you here on New York Now. All right, now we'll kick it back to Matt at the desk.
All right, thanks, Casey. Something else that happened this week, lawmakers voting to raise the age to purchase tobacco products like cigarettes and e-cigs from 18 to 21. Our poll question asks whether you support the legislation. Let us know at nynow.org. Last week, we asked if you supported a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags. Many people voting, 3/4 said yes. Deirdre in Avon, watching on WXXI, said it's about time. This should be expanded to styrofoam use in any food service. Gus in Owego, watching on WSKG, part of the 25% who voted no, I'm sick and tired of New York State politicians telling me what's best. I can make my own decisions. Cheryl in Harlem watching on WNET, the effect on our environment is catastrophic. If the bags are not degradable, they should be banned. And finally, Jill in Columbia County told us the proliferation of plastic is extremely problematic for the environment and mars the beauty of parts of our community. Our thanks to all those who took the time this week to vote. We hope to hear from you again. To do so, go to nynow.org. There you can find all of our past programs and links to us on social media, including Twitter, where our handle is at nynow_PBS. There's a link to the Capital Confidential blog, which is also found at timesunion.com.
All right, make sure to tune in next week when we'll sit down with the longtime New York State Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, to discuss New York's fiscal health. I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union.
I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time right here on your local PBS station.